Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kensco Rocks, episode number 10, the podcast all about Kensco. Today, we have a very special treat for you because all four Kensco MVPs are in one continent, in one hotel room. Believe it or not, it's a funny scenario, but we have never experienced this before with having all four in one place. So we decided to do a podcast at the last minute, and I think we have a special topic. But because we have guests in our podcast today, I would like to go right to the new people in the room, the first one being Jörg.
Hi, guys. From Prague here. Just back from the Kensco connection with these other MVPs. It was a great week. For you who might not know me, I work at IBL Software in the Netherlands.
You've like been one of the oldest, tenured MVPs in the group, aren't you?
Maybe
Jörg is our resident MVP.
No, but just to get your memories back up.
All right. Well, thanks, sir. We also have the newest MVP of the bunch in the room, Elish. Go ahead, Elish.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm also excited to finish up with the Kensco connections. Myself, I'm a solutions architect at MMT Digital, and the newest MVP. So I'm really happy to kind of join the rest of the team. I work with Kensco a lot, so.
All right, and of course, as always, we have our favorite Brian Soltis.
That's right, the Brian with the Y. So it's always a pretty cool time right now. This has never really happened, all four of us being in one place. Brian and I, you and I talk a lot, and we can meet fairly easily because that doesn't involve any passports to do so. But obviously, hanging out with Jörn is a very cool thing to do that I only get to do once a year, and now we get to throw Elish in there too, and it's pretty cool. So I thought what would be really interesting if we could discuss a topic, and we haven't done this one yet. We've done 10 of these.
I know, 10 is an amazing number.
That's crazy.
I wish we could do more, though.
Right. Well, we can. Yeah. We have two more people. We can put them to work.
That's right.
That's right. So today's topic I thought would be really interesting because I think we're each going to have a different answer and a different take on it. And a lot of projects have a lot of data. And that could be in the form of customer data, or order data, or product data, or whatever it is, a lot of data. And you have to handle and manage that data. And so what I wanted to start with is kind of talking about, let's say you, just hypothetically, you had a million rows that you needed to show somebody. I wanted to hear what you guys would do. Let's just start with something easy. You just need to display it. It's just read data. I wanted to hear kind of what your techniques would be on how you would present that data to the user, and what are some best practices of using Kensco of how you think would be the most efficient and optimal way to do it. So, do I have any takers to go first on this? So, Elish is raising his digital hand, and he would like to take this one first.
Okay. For me, I'm just gonna provide an example. Really, is that, for example, we have to really consider what this data is. So is it something that we're going to be using to do something with it? Like, we always have the examples of document types versus custom tables. I know Brian McKeever is a strong believer.
Yes, I'm shaking my head because I can't believe they changed the name to page types.
You have to go update your blog now.
I know.
So it's deciding what to do. So imagine you've got something like, news that you've got around the system. Just understanding the fact that you can actually use the document URLs, or in the URL or something, to decide to use the document types or the page types in version 8. So what we tend to do to try and handle this is probably try and, either there's one way to do it, and I know these guys will bring something else up, is using the repeater.
Okay.
The repeater is going to basically, is one of the basic things in Kensco. Everyone, I believe, will probably be using it and still uses it. And
so what kind of configurations of the repeater would you do to handle that much data? I mean, what would you do specifically with that? Are you using, paging or using some other, JavaScript library on top of it to load it? What do you have any special tips that you do or things that you do that really help Kensco developers really handle this information in an optimal way?
Okay, so the first thing is that before we even go that far, you need to try and learn the basics of the repeater in the sense of making sure the control ID is limited and kept as minimal as possible in terms of characters. making sure that the columns that you want to return from the repeat are actually specified, so you're not returning the whole lot.
So you're saying always make sure that your controls are configured in a way that so that they aren't going to contribute to any speed or degradation of performance or anything.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, that's a great start.
Okay, so then with that, then you can consider paging after that. So I can pass this over to you.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you on that. But what you need to consider is, do I actually need to store all this data? Can I remove some data? Because it's very important to only store the data, especially with this large amounts of data, to only store that what you actually need. A good example, and one for me recently, was to store media files. Media files basically have blobs in them. So in those cases, it wouldn't be recommended to store them in the content tree, because that's like a performance killer. And so in those cases, I recommend to go media library, so it's file-based and not database. So if you look at page types, it usually consists of multiple tables, like the CMS tree, CMS document, even some versioning, some workflow. So you'll have to take that all in consideration. And having influence on the actual query that gets the data will definitely improve the performance, and is my recommendation in this approach.
Right, so your important part of that is the fact that if you get the binary out of that internal location and replace it with maybe a pointer of a GUID to the media file ID, you're shrinking down the amount of storage space that SQL table is going to take to store those million rows, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So I really like this. We're kind of building it up. We have Lesh making sure that just your Kentico configuration and your web part is as optimal as it can be. And then now we're bringing in the data, and your point is, make sure you're storing it in the most optimal format to set yourself up so that you can query and bring it back the right way. So now we're almost getting ready to actually start displaying this data. So what we've done is a lot of groundwork, but it's some of the most important pieces to make sure your system will be able to handle. Now, Brian, do you think of, now we actually need to start showing it. And, what are some best tips that you know I need to actually start displaying this data?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the first thing that you have to think about, too, is, do I need to have workflow? Do I need translation? Do I need URLs? Can I maybe use something outside of document types in the content tree? Page types, I'm sorry. I'm going to say 100 more times, bear with me. But the custom table interface is a great way to handle large amounts of data that are out of the tree, because it takes about 6 tables and views to bring things together to make sure they're getting the most recent version that's published, to make sure they're getting the most recent version that's checked in. And all that stuff takes a lot of overhead in the document tree. So if you're talking millions of rows of data, maybe there's a better way. So definitely take a look at custom tables if you don't need all those advanced features. If you do, you obviously have to make the right choice. But one thing that I think most Kentico developers don't know about is the fact that there's this really little small checkbox in some of the web parts that say load pages individually. And it's kind of the worst name in the world. Sorry, Kentico guys. And I didn't know about it in the early days. It's something that, when you enable it, it changes the query behind the scenes to utilize server-side paging. So, of course, we can't show a million rows in a browser, especially IE, because it would crash and it would die in a minute. So we only want to usually bring back 25 or 50 rows at a time. And that checkbox changes the query to load on the server side with paging already done on the SQL level. And SQL is meant to handle that many rows of data pretty efficiently. So that's one of the things that we did. In a situation like this for one of our clients, right, we had to filter and create this paging interface to handle this much data because the page was taking too long to load. So we really changed it up. And there's a decent set of documentation that I recommend to handle that. But, how would you do it, bro?
Actually, that's the exact thing. Now, I've always been curious, and I don't know the answer to this, so maybe one of you guys have a little insight that I don't. But, that load pages individually, I know they just brought that functionality into, the document queries and stuff. Of being able to, as you specify basically what your page size is, and I know behind the scenes they're doing it, and the SQL's only being hit to actually pull that right amount of data at that particular point in time. So the amount of data you're handling at that moment is just the size that you tell it. It's not like it's pulling all of it, and then what you see is just this subset of it. I think they actually are only pulling this small piece at a time. I would suspect that they're probably doing the same thing behind, something similar to the document query.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but
yeah.
So I think that's a great point. I think another thing that is possible, and I don't have a lot of experience doing it with data. I do with images, but is the concept of lazy loading. And the way I've done it with images is we might have, 100 images on a page, and we're using some custom JavaScript to basically, it only loads what's in the viewport at that point in time. Now that's very specific to images, but I've read about, I haven't actually implemented a lot of stuff, but doing basically lazy loading of the data. Have any of you actually used a lazy loading JavaScript library or something against Kentico data? Now, because I know that actually Kentico has recently put out a blog about it, and I found it very interesting. I was like, wow, that's something I saw on Devin. I was like, that would be really cool, especially if you have a large amount of data. So you actually have done some, Brian?
Yeah, we've done it with some of the big, heavy content sliders that are on some big home pages that not necessarily lots of quantity of those images, but
large,
heavy, large images that are almost a megabyte in size. You wouldn't want to load all six of those in one page at one time. So really what we've done is use an Ajax postback to call those images on demand after the slide changes to the next slide, as opposed to adding a repeater to a page template and doing it more of a normal server-side base where all the LIA tag, image tag is all filled in and the page is then sent to the client requesting all of those large images. We've actually had the transformation be fairly empty, have just a placeholder ID, and then the JavaScript comes in, matches that ID, runs a bit of script to maybe hit a web service we've made in Kentico or the built-in REST service. So that was one way that we made that image slider work.
So when you did that, are you having to do anything special with the view state of it? When you did this kind of solution that you just talked about, did you have to do anything special with the view state? Because if it's doing this lazy loading, are you actively still adding to the view state with every single time you're doing it? Or is it able to actually replace what's in the view state for that controller, do you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, by default, if you were to load all that with server-side code, and at the end of the day, that's what web parts are,
right.
They're user controls. If you don't disable the view state on that repeater that's generating the set of directives to get the image source, it's going to, by default, put more into view state. So we recommend disabling view state on web parts that are read-only, that don't involve a postback. That's actually kind of a big tip for all of the Kentico developers out there that aren't maybe aware of the disable view state checkbox or don't think to look at it before they go live with sites. If your web parts aren't posting back, there's no reason you need view state. So, but be a little careful, because if some content editor places a widget in an area that you think is read-only, that actually is like a poll or a form that has to submit, there's some concerns that you might break that part of the built-in Kentico functionality.
Regarding transformations, like you said, there's always a rookie mistake I come across, and that is when they use like additional queries from within transformations, and then you have additional queries per result. And basically, we see a lot of these things in where you are loading hierarchical data. And typically, approach would be to use a universal viewer. Elesh?
Yeah, I similarly see examples in the sense that people are actually using the transformations to nest other repeaters.
Yeah,
you can kill your performance doing that. I've seen that happen, and like just with a nested repeater that has a repeater, then that repeater has a repeater, and good lord, I can't even imagine what that's doing behind the scenes.
And I have to admit, I've done that before.
Oh, I've done it.
I've done it before.
I think we all have. I mean
sometimes you just have to.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that if you guys take anything away from this is to make sure you use the right approach.
Right.
Nested repeaters are normally a no-no, really. So
yeah, definitely think looking in the hierarchical stuff if you can. I mean, Kentico's built a lot of that stuff already in there and it's there to use. So, I mean, this is all really good stuff. And I mean, every project is going to have a lot of data and some more than others. And you're going to have to figure out, what the best way is to manage it and display that. And it's going to start with the foundation, like you said, Elesh, making sure that just your site in general is configured well and you're basically doing good housekeeping. And then really, Jorn, that was an excellent point of making sure that how you store that data is going to affect how you can access it and how you can manipulate it. And then moving on to just different, ways to display it, as we talked about. So we have a few minutes left, so I'm going to throw you guys a curveball just out of nowhere just to see what you have to say. But I'm going to ask you for one tip that you could give everyone that is, whenever you are doing, and this really goes back to your point, Lesha,
What's that one killer tip that you can give them to make sure they need to do with their web parts and just how they're using the portal engine with Kentico? And if you guys need a minute, I have one on deck that I can tell you. And I'll just say mine is, because I don't want to steal any thunder from anybody else, I'll say, if you're going to use the built-in Ajax with Kentico, be careful with the web parts in an Ajax and the web part zones in an Ajax. And that can really start to affect a lot of your custom controls and stuff if it's a nested update panel inside of an update panel. And you really just have to pay close attention to that. So get ready to, you know, control shift J in Chrome and make sure you open up your JavaScript to see if something goofy is happening. So I'm sure you guys have lots of stuff. So Brian, what about you?
Yeah, for me, I like to think of it as, what do we do? What are the things that we do if someone comes to us and says, my page is loading slow because there's lots of data? As many junior developers might do when they approach someone who's used Kentico for a while, the first thing I tell them is, do you know what's taking a long time? And the answer is always no, because they just sit there and wait for the browser to spin. I tell them, go look at the debugger in Kentico. It will tell you if SQL calls are being generated, how long they take, if they're not optimized. It'll even tell you what column names you should be using in a transformation if you haven't filled in that columns property. So debugger, the SQL debugger is the main tip I would tell you to use, and pull out those columns when it says, hey, you're requesting 253 columns of this view, but you're using 7. So, you know, you take that, you fill in the columns property of the web part, and then you're done. So,
yeah. I was actually going to say,
sorry.
I found another one. It's not like it's the holy grail, but make sure that you know that the cache options are being used. So if you're getting pulling data, make sure that you cache it. And I'm not saying that you should cache like the whole page. Yeah? The initial load should be fast. So I definitely recommend what Brian said, debug the system. But cache will eventually improve the performance a lot more. So that's my tip. Alesh?
Okay, so for me, basically the main thing is that I can't stress this as much as don't use nested repeaters. If you use nested repeaters, you're going to get not going to get very far. So that's going to be like the biggest thing. But if I'm giving something else, I think the best thing you can do is actually think about how you're meant to approach this. If you think about what you need to do.
So like good planning.
Exactly. That's the best thing I can give someone. Just think about it and question if you need to.
That's a great idea. There's a million ways to do something in Kentico, yeah. and sometimes you find the right way the first time, and sometimes it takes you a few sites to get there. So
probably even ask a MVP.
There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we get to that, hold on. Okay. Yeah, I'd just like to, thank you guys for giving us as the listener base to this podcast the feedback and some tips on how to handle large amounts of data with your website. So we've got four really smart people in the room, and I just appreciate your time today. So thank you for coming and doing that. Because our time's at the end of the allowed time, I'd like to just wrap things up. But of course, there's more that we can give you. So we're going to go around one time, just say our contact info. How can people get a hold of you? Just if you could just do that, guys. And then we'll get to the last thing that you wanted to mention. So Alesh, how can they get a hold of you?
Okay, so to get a hold of me, the best way to do is because I work at Energy Digital. Go to energydigital.co.uk/Alesh-mystery. That's where you can reach my blog. So doing a plug here, so on the podcast, so I'm going to go for it. And basically, there's ways to get hold of me, Twitter, Facebook, and whatever. So just go to there and you get hold of me.
Yeah, I have a blog as well, blogs.jeroenfuurst.nl, and you can contact me via Twitter at jeroenfuurst.
And I would say just search for Kentico MVP so you understand how Jeroen spells his name.
He will be the first result, probably.
BitWizards.com, our blog's there. You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Soltis. You can find me on Skype at Brian_Soltis. And you can find me at a bar having a beer at some point in time. How about you, Brian?
Yeah. So, of course, everyone, you can find me at McBeeve.com. That's my website, my blog about Kentico. You can hit me on Twitter at McBeeve and email me at McBeeve@gmail.com. So, thanks, everyone. But the exciting thing is... we have one more coming, so stay tuned and listen to the next episode of Kentico Rocks.
Yep, appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.